Welcome to a Friday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Tyler Watts. Tyler and I are going to be looking at the rest of season value for players like Paul George, Brandon Knight, Carmelo Anthony, Nerlens Noel, and Kristaps Porzingis. Tyler, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Can't complain.
You ready to talk about some basketball players?
All right, let's get into it. First guy we're going to talk about tonight is Paul George, and unless you're living under a rock, I think you know that he's been doing awesome this year. So he has moved up 7 spots and is now ranked 4th in our rest of season head-to-head rankings. So I was wondering, Mark, do you really think he's going to be the 4th best player the rest of the year?
I do. I think we were pretty – we missed on a lot of things preseason – players like Nikola Mirotic and John Jenkins. One of the things I think we got the most right is Paul George. And we all knew how good he was before the broken leg. And I think just the fact that that broken leg doesn't seem to have caused him any problems. And he's come back, and he's come back with like a better jump shot than anybody expected. I think the reason that we're seeing that jump production is his three-pointers. On a per possession basis this season, he is averaging 9 3-point attempts per 100 possession. That's a career high. I'm looking at his playoffs. Excuse me. Let me jump back up to the regular season. He's averaging 9.6 per 100 possessions. Not per game, per 100 possessions.
My bad.
But you're good. That would be not really going to count last year because he played so few minutes. That would be a career high for him. And he's shooting a career best 45%. I'm not sure he can keep that up, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him shoot over 40%. So he's making way more three-pointers than he's ever made before. And that just adds to helps him to score more points. Helps him to to have value basically in two additional categories beyond what we expected. I didn't expect him to get back to be scoring in the 27 point range where he's at right now. That's a surprise to me, but I don't see any reason why he's not going to be able to keep it up.
Here's the great thing about this projection. Okay. If you look at the numbers in the projection thing on the website, they're even a drop from what he's averaging right now. So he can get worse than he is right now, and he's still the 4th best player.
And I guess we should mention what rankings you're talking about. So if you go to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com, there's rest of season rankings that are updated each day for each type of format. There's rotisserie rankings for 8 category leagues, 9 category leagues, and head-to-head leagues. And as you mentioned, Tyler, we're looking at the head-to-head league rest of season rankings for the rest of the season. And yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, we're only giving Paul George credit for part of this. Like, that projection is a blend of this season and previous seasons. So yeah, you're right. He's not, because this season is such an outlier for him, his projection is lower than what he's actually averaging so far. And it's still good for fourth place. So if you need another reason to believe that he's the 4th best player, that's a good one right there.
Right. And I think some of the numbers, maybe they're going to drop a little bit. I think the points are going to be higher than 23.9, which is what you have projected. I mean, I think he's just taking so many shots, and I mean, he's just the focal point of that team.
I think what we didn't account for is their offense has drastically changed. We knew that was coming with the Hibbert trade, but I didn't know I don't think anybody could have projected how quickly they became an effective small ball offense, and he's just able to get more shots up there, have more possessions per game. He's going to the line more. Like, he's just being asked to do different things, I think, in this offense than he was being asked to do before, and he's responding well. It seems like maybe, I don't know if he took some time during his injury, the year off he had basically, to refine his jump shot, but that's what it looked like to me as I watched him.
I would agree with that. You want to do a fun who would you rather?
Yeah.
All right. You have James Harden. Would you trade James Harden? for Paul George.
Where's Harden in those rankings?
Harden is ranked second in the rankings.
Yeah. I don't know that I would do the trade either way. Like, if I had George, I don't know that I'd trade him for Harden. And if I had Harden, I don't know if I would trade him for George. Does that – that probably doesn't make sense, but
– I actually agree. Like, I understand the philosophy. Like, I mean, I don't know that people talk about this a lot, but, like, if you're going to make a trade, you want to, like, get some value. Whereas, like, I mean, you're kind of just backing the horse you already came with, right? You're backing your horse. But I feel like – the way that Rockets team is playing, that I kind of think Paul George is going to be more valuable the rest of the year than James Harden.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that you get with Harden that's hard to replicate, even though George is doing it to a degree we haven't seen it before, is the assists. Like, George is averaging, let's see, on a per game basis, he's averaging 4.5 assists per game. That's a level he hasn't gotten to before. On a per possession basis, that's also a career high. So, you know, he's playing a different role than he's ever played, but I don't think he's going to get to that James Harden where he can average 8 assists a game or something. And I think that's probably why I would feel justified not trading James Harden. But man, if I drafted Paul George in the second round,
you're feeling mighty good about that.
I don't want to get rid of him, even if it's for James Harden. If what I would probably actually do is I would probably, if I wanted to get Paul George, I would probably say, hey, I've got James Harden. Trade me Paul George and something else.
That's what I'm thinking.
Thinking the owner is probably not thinking he's a top 4 player.
And that's kind of where I was going with it was, I think that if you have James Harden, you can probably get back Paul George and a little bit more. And I think, you know, comparably the rest of the season, they're going to be similar players.
Who would you guess has made the second most three-pointers in the NBA this season? Steph Curry doesn't count because he's Steph Curry.
I'm going to guess Paul George.
That is the correct answer. I would not have guessed that before I looked that up. I knew he was shooting more three-pointers, but yeah, he's made, aside from Curry, who's made 94. Oh, looks like, Paul George has made the second most. He's made 54 as of the time of this recording. So that's pretty darn good. Nobody else has made more than him aside from Curry.
This is a great trade you could get. All right.
All right.
You got James Harden. All right. You can get back Paul George and your 47th best player. Would you take it?
Who's the 47th best player?
I don't want to tell you that yet. I'm just asking if you'd take it.
I probably would. I think they're probably close enough. I have a few slight concerns about Harden to the point where I would probably take George if I'm getting that top 50 player with it.
The 47th best player in your rankings is Nikola Mirotic.
Oh, no. I'm probably not. Why not? I think it's close enough.
I think I would, just on the upside. I mean, especially if it's a shallower, like 10 or 12 team league, I think that Mirotic has the upside that maybe he pops.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly possible. All right, who else you got for us in the rankings?
All right, the next guy we're going to talk about in the rankings is Brandon Knight. I feel like a lot of people didn't really see Brandon Knight having a great year, but he's ranked 16th in the rest of season rankings. He's up 17 spots from the preseason. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
I would actually say the reactions to him being ranked 33rd were, that is too high for Brandon Knight. He's not that good of a player, or I don't really want to draft him at the beginning of the third round. And he's had some exceptional nights. He's had some great games. Certainly the reason he's proved that he can play with Eric Bledsoe. He's doing some things that I frankly didn't think he was capable of. So, he seems like a great guy to go out and target. Again, the Brandon Knight owner is probably pretty happy with what he's getting from Brandon Knight, but I don't think that they would realize how good he is. I don't think they would realize that if they traded him for the 25th best player, that they would be losing out on the trade.
Well, I also think too, I mean, part of what plays into it is like what you were saying. I think people were down on him in the preseason. And so, you know, I mean, they viewed him as what, like maybe a top 50, top 60 player in the preseason.
Right.
So, I mean, they're happy with it. Maybe now they think he's a top 40 player.
Right.
So if you're giving him like a top 40, top 35 player back, a lot of people are probably going to do that. And you're getting back a top 16 player.
Yeah. And the thing that's going on with him really is, if you look at his stats per possession, his scoring is right in line with where it was last year and where it was the previous season in Milwaukee at about 28 points a game. His rebounds are right in line on a per possession basis, about 6 per game. Assists are about 7.5. Steals are about two per, sorry, not, I've been saying per game. I mean per possession, per 100 possessions. Steals are right in line. The three-pointers are right in line. The deal is, the reason that he's changed in value is that Phoenix is playing him 36 minutes per night, where he's never before played over 33 minutes per night. And I think you could make an argument that that would regress, but I don't think that it will personally. Like, I think he's on a new team. He's got a new role. I think he's going to play 36 minutes a night. And so I guess what I'm saying is, this is sustainable. This is exactly what he's already what he's always done. It's just in a new setting where he gets more playing time, which is the best, like that's the most reliable type of, you know.
I completely agree. I think they think Bledsoe and him are obviously their two best players, and I don't think they're reducing those minutes much.
Right. I just think, you know, sometimes you see somebody make a big leap in a category that's like a 1 year blip, and you worry that that's going to not be there. And I think with Knight, we're not seeing any 1 year jumps. We're seeing him at a steady level of production and with more minutes. So as long as that continues, I think he's going to be a top 20 player in head-to-head leagues. And I think you ought to be able to go get him if you need to.
All right, so we're ready to jump into the next player?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, the next player we're going to talk about is Carmelo Anthony. Now, this is a guy I feel like not a lot of people have been talking about, especially since the preseason. He's coming back from that knee injury. So he is down 9 spots from the preseason. He is now our 37th ranked player. I'm basically just trying to gauge your thoughts on him, Mark. What are you thinking? He's coming back from that injury. You thinking he's looking good?
Well, I think you make a really good point, like, and I think this is why we try to do this format of the show, because Carmelo is a guy that we just haven't frankly talked about. I don't know if we talked about him once this year on the podcast, and he's dropping, and you know, his value is dropping. If we look at, again, I always start at the per possession stats. If we look at his per 100 possession stats, his points are on a steady decline per 100 possessions. A few years ago in New York, in his age 28 season, he was scoring 41 points per 100 possession, which is very, very elite. He's down now to 33 minutes or 33 points per 100 possession, and he's had a steady decline each season. So 3 years ago, it was 38, went from 41 to 38, then it went from 38 to 35 last season. Now it's gone from 35 to 33. The rebounds are right in line with where they've been. The assists are in line. I think it's just the scoring that we're seeing drop, and you know, he's shooting a worse percentage from 3-point range, which is part of it. But really, he's just taking less shots and shooting a worse percentage. I kind of feel like he's on the wrong side of the age curve. I don't know if it's necessarily due to the injury, although that doesn't help. I think it's just he's getting old. What is he, in his 13th season?
Yes, he's in his 13th season, 31.
Players generally get worse after about season 8 on a per possession basis. So, and by the time they get to their 11th, 12th, 13th season, those declines really start to happen. So, I think this is who Carmelo is. To make the matters worse, he is not playing, you know, 2 seasons ago, he played 39 minutes per game. Even last season before his injury, he was playing 36 minutes a game. Now he's playing 34.5 minutes per game. That's not a great trend, and that's not something I see turning around either. So I think that his ranking is maybe too high.
I was actually just going to say the same thing. I'm thinking Carmelo is a guy you kind of sell right now if someone wants to buy the name value of Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony for Brandon Knight. Can I sell you on that?
I'm definitely taking Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I think so too.
I feel like Carmelo too, like, I mean, like, just looking at some of the guys even a little bit below him in the rankings, like, I think I'd rather have on a lot of these guys, like, you know, Chris Bosh, Jeff Teague, some of these guys, like, I feel like I'd rather have them just because I think there's a little bit of a concern too that an injury might be coming. I mean, like you were saying, he hasn't had the greatest health history in the past. He's getting on the wrong side of the age curve. I feel like an injury could come too for Carmelo.
Right.
Oh, well, we could also do a no halftime challenge between Brandon Knight and Carmelo Anthony. That could get interesting.
That's a very good point, Tyler. That is a very good point. And so who would you want in that side, that challenge?
Well, if the Suns are playing the Lakers, I'll take Brandon Knight.
Are the Suns playing the Lakers?
No, not coming up.
Not coming up. So if they're just playing general whoever, like, I think it's one thing to say for the rest of the season, I'd rather have Brandon Knight. But if you're just doing a one-day challenge.
I still feel like I'd rather have Brandon Knight. I mean, I think he's going to get a little bit more minutes. Minutes are pretty close. But I feel like Brandon Knight could fill it up just as easily as Carmelo could on any given night.
Yeah. No, the way I would see it is I think Carmelo is probably a little bit more consistent right now. I think Brandon Knight has big games and kind of poor games or less explosive games, I guess I would say. And so I think it's a little – like I don't think your no halftime challenge is going to be very close with Carmelo Anthony and Brandon Knight. I feel like Brandon Knight's either going to blow him out or Carmelo's going to blow Brandon Knight out.
We could do that no halftime challenge tonight, Mark. Phoenix is playing Washington. Brooklyn is playing New York.
All right, let's do it. And just for anybody out there who doesn't know exactly what we're talking about, No Halftime is one of the sponsors of this podcast. So we're big fans of the No Halftime platform. The reason though I like No Halftime is it's basically a very simple way to do a daily fantasy. So rather than having to set an entire lineup where you have to worry about salaries and fitting players into positions and slots, you can just be having a discussion with your friend like Tyler and I are having, and you can come up with a challenge. And again, you don't have to worry about salaries. You don't have to worry about anything. You pick a player. I pick a player. Tyler picks a player. And we make that challenge. So Tyler, which one do you want? Do you want Carmelo? Sounds like you're wanting Brandon Knight. I'll take Carmelo. We can hash out the challenge that way. I can set up a challenge in literally like 2 seconds. I can email it over to Tyler. Or if I like the challenge a lot, I can make it public so that anybody else on the No Halftime app can go on there. Basically, if they don't like the challenge, they can swipe it away. If they do like the challenge, they can click on it and accept it. It's super, super easy. It's an easy app to use. Just go to the iTunes store. You can download No Halftime and you can start playing right away. They do other sports than basketball too. They do basketball, NFL, college football, college basketball, and other sports. So go check them out. Best part is just by listening to this podcast, you can get a free $25 just for signing up if you use the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL. If you use that promo code when you register, like I said, you get the $25 and you can come challenge me if you feel like you'd want to take the Brandon Knight side. You can challenge Tyler if you want to take the Carmelo Anthony side. And it's just a lot of fun. I think, like I said, I think it kind of brings the fun back into the daily fantasy sports side, especially if you're playing with your friends. So go check out that app. Tell them that the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast sent you and have some fun with it. All right, Tyler, let's get into our next player.
All right, the next guy we're going to talk about is Nerlens Noel. Nerlens Noel has kind of been trending in the wrong direction. He's dropped 39 spots, and he's down to number 58 in our rest of season head-to-head rankings. And I just want to get your thoughts on Nerlens, Mark. What are you thinking? Are you thinking he's going to bounce back? Or are you thinking this is a downward trend that's going to keep happening?
Well, and again, looking at the per possession stats, his blocks have dropped in basically in half. So per 100 possessions last year, he averaged 3.1 blocks and 2.9 assists. This year, he's averaging 1.6 blocks and 2.2 steals. Or I said assists, I meant steals. So last year, basically three steals, three blocks per 100 possessions. This year, the steals have come down almost one full steal per 100 possessions, and the blocks have dropped in half. And I think that has a lot to do with our friend Jahlil Okafor being in town there, don't you think?
I do. I mean, I think that he's not really playing in the paint much on defense. I think that a lot of the stretch fours too are kind of hurting him. He's playing less center and more power forward, so he's out guarding power forwards on the perimeter that are stretch fours, and so he's just not getting the opportunities to get the blocks.
Right. And you know, the points and rebounds are still there where they were last season, but they're not great. Like, what you're expecting from Nerlens Noel is elite steals and elite blocks, and he's just giving you merely very good of those categories. And on top of that, he's shooting 40%, 41%, which is really poor for a big man. So,
and I don't see it trending up. That's the bad part.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think because we can point to, it looks like it's because Jahlil Okafor is playing. I don't think that's going to change. Like, I don't think they're going to get rid of Okafor. I don't think they're going to, if it ever did change, I would expect Noel to recover, but I don't think it's going to change. And so I don't think the stats are going to bounce back.
A small trend I've noticed too is they're trying to split up the minutes as much as possible. Like, I mean, they brought Noel off the bench a couple games there. And even when they're starting him, like, they'll take one of them out pretty early in the first quarter and try to, like, split up the minutes as much as they can. So I think they're trying to get Noel in a situation where they think he's best suited. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they love the fit with them both out there together.
Yeah, and it seems to be neutralizing what Nerlens Noel is best at. So hopefully they can figure that out. It seems silly if you have basically, like, two or three good NBA players that two of them can't play together. But I guess that's where the Sixers are at.
All right. Well, this could get interesting. I think we're going to talk about a guy next that you would trade your Nerlens Noel to get. I think I'm right about this. The next guy we're going to talk about is Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, I love some Kristaps Porzingis.
Kristaps is up 27 spots in the rankings. He's now ranked 66th. And I want to know how high you going on him, Mark.
I think, what do you mean? Like, how do I quantify my love for Kristaps Porzingis? Like, do you want me to tell you where I think he'll rank?
Yeah, where do you think he's going to rank? If you had to put a number on it today, rest of the season.
Where he finishes?
Yep.
I mean, it's so much of a – he's still only playing 28 minutes a game, which I know is higher than anybody thought he was going to get. It's higher than I thought he was going to get, but he's just responding so well. You know, he's averaging – so far this season, in those 28 minutes, he's averaging 14 points, 9 rebounds, almost a steal, almost a three-pointer, and almost 2 blocks per game. And if he can just keep that up, I think he's a top 50 player. A lot of times we see rookies, there's always this like notion of the rookie wall. And I think if you look at the numbers, it's actually the opposite. Rookies tend to improve throughout the season, which is logical and reasonable. It's just that we notice the cases of when a rookie slows down more often than we notice them making small incremental improvements. So, you know, if he could get to like, I think as far as I'm willing to go right now is top 50. I think, you know, if you could tell me he was going to play 30 minutes a night and they were going to try to feature him in the offense a little bit more, I would say like top 30, but I'm not quite willing to go there yet just because I'm not sure where the minutes are going to end up.
Just as a talking point, I was wondering, like, for the rookies, if you could talk about this, how do you factor in the numbers that are in these projections? Like, is it just off this year or is it off a combination of what you projected in the preseason?
Yeah, obviously,
You don't have any stats from last year to go off of. So,
yeah, it is a combination still at this point of their translated stats, which Porzingis was really, you know, he was as easy to translate as the NCAA players, just because there's so many players that played in his European league. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of those translated stats and his actual production. But for the rookies, it relies more on this year's stats than veterans do. So veterans were not, when we talk about blending, you know, previous seasons and this season together, there's a smaller weight on this season than there for veterans than there is for rookies.
I think Chris Stapps is pretty much easily a top 50 player for the rest of the year. I mean, just based on what you said, I mean, obviously the blocks are huge. I mean, the 2 blocks a game is just something really nice to have. He's got, you know, almost a steal, the 9 rebounds, the 3s. I mean, I feel like this is a guy you just want to have on your team. It's someone you want to root for.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like, you bring up a good point. Fantasy is supposed to be fun. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's a lot of fun to root for. It's fun to watch him when he gets those big, I realize there are down games, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun when he has the up games. And yeah, I would totally, to answer your question, I would totally give up Nerlens Noel to get Kristaps Porzingis.
It's a little less fun for me because I always think about he could be on the Lakers instead of being Russell. It just makes me a little bit sad.
I am speaking as a basketball fan in general, I don't care about the Knicks. I don't love the Knicks. I'm glad that he is not under the tutelage of Byron Scott.
Well, you bring up a good point there.
I would not like Byron Scott and Kobe Bryant to be destroying the joy that is Kristaps Porzingis.
So going back to the guy we already talked about, how do you think Carmelo feels about Kristaps on his team now? I mean, there was the big quote before the season about how he wasn't too happy with the pick. And then he kind of refuted that. What do you think he's thinking now?
He's probably worried that he's no longer the best player on the Knicks.
I'll have to agree with you there.
No, I mean, I still think Carmelo is probably their best player, but he's got to be thrilled with the production that Porzingis is putting up. And you know what I've noticed is those block numbers have been coming up lately. Like, beginning of the season, he was more around like 1 block per game. But the last 5, his block numbers are 7 blocks, 2 blocks, 6 blocks, 3 blocks, and 2 blocks.
And he had 4 tonight.
And he had another 4 on Wednesday night. So, man, that's just awesome. Like, if you're going to be able to get 2-plus blocks out of him, plus at least a 3-pointer, plus, you know, maybe a steal out of him, plus double-digit rebounds or close to it, that's there's nobody else putting up those kind of lines.
I feel like he is great. Just, I mean, for like, you never, you know what to expect, but you never know what to expect. Like, he could just have one of those crazy off the wall games and you're just sitting there so happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Go make your fantasy team happier. Go trade for Kristaps Porzingis. And if you think you're giving up too much value, you're probably not.
Well, send Mark on Twitter. Ask him on Twitter if you're giving up too much value.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's all the players we have for today, Tyler. So do you want to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter if they want to ask you some more questions?
Yeah, feel free to ask me questions anytime. You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. So that's Watsy and then 4 fours.
Yep, hit up Tyler. Tyler, thanks a lot for being on the show. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, if you like the show, to rate and review the podcast. If you've already done that, don't forget to steal your friends or family members' iTunes account and go rate and review the podcast. Tyler, you have a little story to tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got on the computer earlier today, and my mom's iTunes account was like signed in on it. And so I was like, you know what? I might as well just go in and rate and review the podcast. So I did that. That's so good. I mean, you guys got to do it. If you just see it open there and they're just asking you to rate and review the podcast.
Yep. Absolutely. Helps us to stay high in the rankings, which helps keep us going. So, yeah, you don't even have to tell your friends about it. Just steal their phone and rate you the podcast. With that, I think this will be our final podcast of the week. We'll be back on Monday. And when I say we, well, actually, JJ Callie will be here to go over the schedule, but I will be absent. I will be replaced by a guest host. And if you want to know who that is, you'll have to listen in on Monday's podcast. Until then, enjoy some basketball and have a good weekend. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.